Bortles under center. To give to Fournette. He crashes his way. Did he get in? No signal yet.
There it is.
Touchdown! Savage, now the Jags bring five. He's going to get hit again. Guess who got him again? Believe it or not, Calais Campbell now has 3.5 sacks. Jags showing blitz again. Let's see if they bring the house again. Yes, they do. It's an all-out blitz. Savage drops it. He said the ball is out again. That ball is out. Dante Fowler picks it up. 45, 40. Dante to the 30. Dante Fowler to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Fowler has run it back. And the Jacksonville defense is running amok over the Houston offense.
And guess who? Yannick Ngakoue.
Play fake. Rolling right is Bortles. Fires it to Mahanan into the end zone. Touchdown. It was a play fake. Bortles rolled right and threw it to his fullback, Tommy Bohannon, for a one-yard touchdown pass.
Your wildest dream that you've ever envisioned. 10 sacks, 4 turnovers in one game.
I don't know if I dream in my wildest dreams. Most of the time I'm thinking about, my wife in my wildest dreams.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
And finish it off with a bologna and cheese sandwich. Good morning, everybody. Jaguars Today. That takes us back, Tyler, right in this very seat. Hurricane stories. That's what we had. We had the Jags knocking off the Houston Texans in the season opener and looking to do the same this week. An 11-point favorite. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you at 1010XL World Headquarters. No Ryan O'Halloran today. He is on assignment. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
Playoffs are upon us.
Yeah, at least the NFL figured out how to schedule the divisional matchups for the AFC South, and apparently no other division in football. As we're going to take a look at the projected playoff picture today on the show, and it's amazing how many of these teams play each other once or twice over the course of the last 5 weeks of the season within these divisional matchups. The Jags played Houston week one. They play them this week. The Colts matchup was divided up a little bit in the middle of the season. Tennessee was week two and week 17.
Right.
How could they figure it out for the South and nobody else?
Right.
It's weird.
You had Miami played New England this week. They also played them 2 weeks ago. They're playing Buffalo this upcoming week, and then they play them in 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very weird. I guess that gives you kind of a fair balance. We'll get them home and away at the same time of year, but it's kind of nice to see the differences that teams make. Whatever the case, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You know what's out in front of you if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan and you are headed to the postseason. The question is where will you be seated when you get to the postseason? Now, we had a plan, Tony, and you know what plans are made for. They're made to be discarded, okay, particularly a radio plan. And we had a plan yesterday, at least this was the intention, to do a show today centered around the question of who's the best in-season pickup that the Jaguars have ever had. And I thought, you know what, it's a little deep in the weeds, right? I mean, and it's probably a limited list, and you're certainly welcome to share your thoughts. If you did do your homework yesterday, unlike my son, if you were prompt and attention to detail and got all your assignments done on time without any prodding, then you're welcome to share your thoughts with us on that, certainly today, tomorrow, what have you. But today we just decided, you know what, let's focus as we kick off week 15 tonight in the National Football League. Two teams that are not in the playoff race, Denver and Indianapolis. This weekend's going to be a critical one. You got a doubleheader on Saturday featuring, among those games, the L.A. Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Both of those vying for a playoff spot. Kansas City would be in right now. Chargers would be on the outside looking in. And, you know, we talked a lot about what happens to the Jags if they win out. Well, if Pittsburgh wins over New England this week, the Jags can take the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. If New England wins, you're going to rely on another loss by either Pittsburgh or New England for the Jags to get a bye. So we decided, you know what? Not that many weeks left. Let's play this thing out, and we'd ask you today, the question today brought to you by First Coast Roofing, to predict the 6 playoff teams in the AFC in order of their seed. So you just list them in the order 1 through 6 that you think they're going to make it. And it's always been kind of a pet peeve of mine when people make predictions on, like, before the season, on what the team's records will be around the league, and they don't add up. Because you have to have the same amount of wins and losses, right? Because every time somebody wins, somebody loses. So
yeah, you can't pick the Chargers and the Chiefs to win this week.
You cannot. Exactly. For
One's
instance, right?
Lose.
You can pick them to tie if you choose to. But
you cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
That's correct. right? And that's a classic example. So we decided to go through. There are 12 teams that are mathematically alive for the playoffs in the AFC. And, you know, this time last year, we'd be like, and the Jags are not one of them, right? Well, not the case this time around. It's the Jags would have been sitting there on a couple of wins. 12 teams mathematically alive. We decided, Tony, Tyler, and myself, to play out the next 3 weeks, how we think they're going to go without any thought to the consequence. Game by game, who do you think will win this matchup at this point in time? And then when it's all said and done, take a look at it, add it into the existing records, factor in any tiebreakers that may be applicable, and figure out who are going to make the playoffs in the American Football Conference. So that's what we're going to do today in part, and we will go through the schedule for the next 3 weeks from our point of view a little bit later on in the show in the second hour today coming up. Today we've got Doug Marrone. Man, we've got a ton of guys. It's time. They're talking. They're ready to go. Doug Marrone, press conference yesterday. You'll hear a bunch from him. Blake Bortles, press conference yesterday. You'll hear a bunch from him. Guys in the locker room like Malik Jackson, Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith, Miles Jack, Marquise Lee, Marcel Darius. I don't know if we'll get to them all, but we've got audio available from all of those guys, their thoughts on where the Jags stand, what's coming up with the Houston Texans this week, and maybe even a mention of the postseason here and there. We'll get to all that coming up as we go along today. If you're a fantasy football player, it's likely the semifinals, right? So you start things tonight. Last Thursday night football game of the season. Tone, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself next Thursday night, but I do love the Saturday doubleheaders that we're going to get the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll get Saturday doubleheaders, and then it's Christmas weekend next week.
I know.
So we get a couple games on Monday, too, don't we?
We do. We get a Monday doubleheader.
And so, yeah, it's that time of year where we've been talking about, you know, this state in football history. We've had championship games a week ago in the past. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty of who's going to the playoffs and who's not in the NFL. So a kind of bleh Thursday night game this week, but
that's fine.
Whatever. It's
that's
another
fine.
Thursday
just
night game.
Just kind of gets you by. Tyler and I, in the Jaguars Today Fantasy Leagues, not to belabor things, Tyler and I, everything is a two-week semifinal. So we have a carryover from last week's points. Tyler and I face each other in two of the three leagues in the semifinals, and I have a big lead in one. Tyler has a big lead in the other. So if things hold the form, we'll each advance to a two-week championship beginning in week 16. In another league, I've got a decent lead, like an 11-point lead on my opponent. And, Tony, you've got a pretty good lead, I think, as well. In your
something like 38, something 70, like
that. That's a pretty good lead. 38-point
yeah.
lead. You would take that with just about any lineup going in. So we got a chance.
That was with Kamara going out.
Right. Right. And well, and the one, and it's a shame. I wish I had, in the league I'm behind Tyler, I wish I had Alvin going, but I've got him in the one where I've got the big lead. I got Bell and Kamara. You've got Bell, Kamara, and Gurley, don't you, in
yes.
that one? That's a pretty nice, delicious trio. Love Todd Gurley this week, by the way, with Seattle's linebackers beat up like they are. So we got a chance to meet in one of the championships. Tyler and I will decide things in a couple of the semifinals as well. So good luck to all of you out there in your fantasy football playoffs if you've made it this far. If you want to get in today, 641-1010 is the way to do it on the phone lines. Also on the text line, which is, of course, driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, and of course on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Today's question of the day, asking you to predict the six teams in order of their seed that will make the playoffs in the AFC. You don't have to play it out yourself if you don't want to. You don't have to go game by game. You can just go on kind of a gut feel of how things are going to finish. Just want to see where your head is at, where you think the Jags are going to finish, and then based on that, what are the matchups we'd be looking at in the first round as a potential Jaguar opponent coming into Everbank Field for the divisional round of the playoffs? How sweet does that sound, man? The divisional round of the playoffs. All right, we are off and running this morning. We will come back. We'll hear from the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be, of course, Mr. Doug Baloney Maroney. And we'll also hear from Blake Bortles and a bunch of other guys throughout the course of the program today. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Jaguars Today, we're live at 1010XL World Headquarters. Ryan O'Halloran on assignment. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Two ways I look at it. One way, tough luck for Puz. The second way is don't ever assume that you're going to come into this league and win. You know, no matter where you are or what says on paper.
Ain't that the truth, Tony? One of the guys in our this state in football won a championship in his rookie season. Never did it again. You got to come in the league and thinking, oh, this is all it's about. Come on, piece of cake, right? Paul Posluszny not only going to have his first winning season doesn't guarantee a playoff berth. He's going to the postseason for the first time, and can't wait to see him out there along with the rest of his Jaguar teammates. We'll get to more from Doug Marrone. That, of course, was the Jaguar head coach. A quick comment on Paul Posluszny finally being on a winning team. I don't think it's a reflection on Puz. Look at his production throughout his career. The guy's been phenomenal. You know, I loved what he said about coming here saying, man, I thought we were going to the playoffs right away because we're going to have a great defense and David Garrard at quarterback. Oh, wait. No, you're not. kind of a last-second rug pull right there.
Yeah.
6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get in today. And share with us your thoughts on who's going to the postseason in the AFC and what will be the order of seeding. We've run through the scenarios ourselves, predicting the games for the last 3 weeks. We'll share with you our thoughts on where things go. Tony said his came down to a strength, what was it? Not strength of schedule. Common opponent tiebreaker.
Because it's no head-to-head. They had the same conference record, so it goes to common opponents, and you have to have a minimum of four. They had four common opponents.
Wow. I had no tiebreakers in mind in the first pass through, and that's the official one I'm going to stick with. Although there's one game goes another way. Actually, one of two games goes another way.
Yeah, there's a couple of those.
It would flip it, and it would become a tiebreaker, and it would put one team out and another team in, and we'll discuss those possibilities coming up, but that's a little bit later on. We'll take your calls now if you want to weigh in on this or anything else Jaguar-related. Jonathan on the north side going to lead us off this morning. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? I'm great over here. Hello, Jags fans out there.
Yeah, man, Duval and all that good stuff. What's going on, brother?
That's right. I'm just happy to be a Jags fan. I want to give you guys my my top six in the AFC playoffs.
Okay.
And it might be a little bit different than some people have, but I'm going to say Steelers at one, Jags at two, because I think the Steelers are going to beat the Patriots this week.
Okay.
Pats three, Chiefs four, and I don't think the Titans are going to make it. So I'm going to go with the Ravens and the Chargers. I think the Titans are going to lose to the Rams, and they're definitely going to lose to us, drop them out with a 9-7 record. And just to add a little bit to that, if the Jags are that number two seed and we play the Steelers in the AFC Championship, then we'd be looking at an AFC Championship game at home, which would be great. And I'll take the comments off there. You guys are awesome, man. Go Jags!
Jonathan, the only problem with that is, no, you wouldn't. If the Steelers are the one seed, they have home field throughout, right? Just because you beat them head-to-head doesn't mean you get home field over them if you don't have an equal record to them. So Pittsburgh would be the home team in the AFC Championship.
You'd have a divisional game at home.
Correct.
And then if the Steelers lose, then you'd have the AFC Championship
correct
at home.
Now, you know, there's scenarios where the Jags could become the number one seed. They're pretty extreme to think that they're going to come through. So, but how about this, Tony? Who's the only franchise to beat Pittsburgh twice in Pittsburgh in the same season?
That would be this one.
That would be Jacksonville. That was 10 years ago. How about an anniversary? Double dip. Beating Pittsburgh twice in Pittsburgh again. And, you know, kind of really claiming that record and distancing it from everybody else. The nice thing about this scenario, New England plays the Chargers, and one of them gets knocked out right there. Bam. And look, if the Chargers were to beat New England, you'd be playing the winner of Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh then would be playing the Chargers. So if that were to play out, you might only have to face one. I mean, the Chargers right now are not even in the playoffs. But they are a red-hot team.
They are.
And they've got a great pass rush. And we know Pittsburgh and New England. Look, no matter how bad New England looked on Monday night, I'm not falling for the Possum Act, okay? I'm not believing that they're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no Gronk. Their right tackle was out. They were banged up in the backfield. There was a lot of reasons that you could point to and say maybe this is why they had a bit of a down week. They seem to do it once a year against somebody in the East. It's usually that road game in Miami. It's not the first time we've seen the New England Patriots led by Brady struggle in that game, even late in the season, with something on the line. So, yeah, show it to me back-to-back weeks, and then I'll be like, okay, maybe it's finally starting to come. But until I see back-to-back weeks, no, I don't believe it.
Let's go to Drew in Tallahassee checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's up?
So I got the Steelers beating the Patriots because I just don't think they'll be able to stop the run against Le'Veon Bell. But question, if we have the AFC South locked up against the Titans, but we also have a chance to have the number two seed, do you think we'll play the starters?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Why wouldn't you? Okay. It's like getting a playoff win.
All right. So that's I think in that case, it'll be number one seed, the Steelers. We'll be the two seed, New England three, Chargers four. I'm gonna say Titans five, and then probably the Chiefs at six.
All right. So Kansas, go ahead.
I'm thinking that we could run all over New England, and I think our defense will do enough to stop Brady, because the main thing to beat Brady is by getting pressure on the quarterback like Von Miller did a couple years ago, and I really think we have a good chance to beat anyone in the AFC.
I agree. I think they have an excellent chance to beat anybody in the AFC, Tony. I mean, I don't think it's going to be easy. It is the postseason, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of hot teams coming in there and, run all over New England. We'll see. I'll say this. New England beat Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game last year. Remember what happened? Le'Veon Bell went out early in that football game. It'll be very interesting to watch how Pittsburgh approaches their attack against the Patriots this week.
And more so than Von Miller, what has really bothered Tom Brady has been pressure up the middle.
Right up the gut.
And the Jags seem to be able to at least have some guys that can get that kind of job done. Malik Jackson is playing as well as he has in a Jaguars uniform right now, so hopefully that form continues as they get into the playoffs. And I think it was a good thing where it came down to fourth quarter, Seattle got handed the ball with a chance to go win it. And the Jaguars stood up defensively, made the stop. They went and got the first down on that third down and found a way to put that thing away on Sunday at home. And I think that's important for a team that hadn't been put in that situation. We talk about playoff situations. That felt like one. And they stood up on both sides of the ball and made the plays when they absolutely had to on Sunday against Seattle. Hopefully that pays dividends a little bit later on.
All right, let's go to Henry checking in Dallas. But Tyler tells me a Duval native. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Good. I just wanted to ask you all if you all heard about the second Michael Bennett report that came out from the NFL yesterday. I know you heard that no one got suspended, but apparently NFL, they reviewed the video and they said Michael Bennett did nothing wrong. He was going for the ball. I just don't believe that at all. And, I don't think it's a stretch to say that the NFL might be biased against the Jaguars.
I do. I mean,
I don't think it's a bias against the Jaguars. They got it wrong.
How does it hurt the Jaguars that Michael Bennett is not suspended?
They'll see him again in 4 years.
What is the rationale that they would be biased against the Jaguars after the game's over? Right. I don't agree with it, but at least if you want to go with the conspiracy theory of they're a small market, they're not attractive. For one thing, I think new blood in the playoffs with a vibrant young defense is extremely attractive to watch this year in the postseason. Maybe I'm biased on that. But the game's over, Tony. How does this benefit or hurt the Jaguars? It has no impact on the Jaguars what Seattle does the rest of the way.
If there's a bias, if you want to say there's a bias, it may be the league looking at it saying, Seattle plays the Rams this week. Right? Like, if there's a bias, that may be it. It's like, this is a big game. It's maybe the biggest game on both these teams' schedule this year. Are we really going to put a guy out of a game for this big a game for that kind of moment? They should. They didn't. But they should have Michael Bennett suspended this week. They decided not to. And I think it has a whole lot more to do with who they're playing this week than it has to do with who they played last week.
I think Michael Bennett, it was dirt. Jeff Logman agreed
dirty
with him, by the way. Didn't think anything wrong with it. I vehemently disagree with that.
If you think the initial play wasn't dirty, you think he's going after the ball, that's fine. What about the other two times that he dove at Brandon Linder's legs? What about those two times, Lee?
Right. What about when he tackled him to the ground as Linder was walking him away, walking away, and then jumped
on top
of him?
So what if the initial play wasn't dirty? The continuation of it clearly was.
Yeah. So, you guys need to get out of this mindset that they're out to get you. They're not out to get you.
No.
You know, I don't believe that in the least bit, Tony.
No, if they were out to get you, they don't miss the Colvin holding.
Why would they be out to get the Cowboys?
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott, all this contentiousness about his suspension. They're the most popular team in the National Football League. Why would they be out to get them? Why would they be out to get the Patriots? As they're hugely popular in a major market, right? And they suspended Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And they went to the wall to do it on both of these guys.
I mean, they're just inconsistent.
They're not out to get you. Oh, let's get Darren in Mandarin up next. Darren checking in on the question of the day on Jaguars today. Good morning, Darren.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to go with I'm on the train with Pittsburgh beating Brady again this weekend because, one, I think Brady's still in the ice bucket after that whipping Miami put on him the other night. I don't remember a game where I've seen him hit that much as he was the other night. So I'm on that train as Jaguars are picking up the 2 seed. And, you know, Mal Michaels said it best the other night that Pittsburgh and Jacksonville are the 2 teams that he thinks, and he made a comment. I was very happy to hear that, getting a little love on Sunday Night Football, that those are the 2 teams. Jacksonville is somebody that the other teams are saying, we don't necessarily want to run into them because they seem to be clicking on all cylinders. So I think we could be heading forward back to Pittsburgh. And by the way, I was at both of those teams that brought it home 10 years ago.
So was I, Darren. So was I. So was I.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. You know what was the best part about it? Watching all those Steeler fans that were leaving in the third quarter. That was the best part about it.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff.
So give us the rest of the seat. If you got Pittsburgh 1, Jax 2, who's the rest?
Well, I think Kansas City gets in, and obviously New England, I think, will fall to 3. Kansas City's going to get in. The Chargers, I believe, are also rolling, and I think Baltimore will get in as well.
All right, so I'll put,
I think 5 or 6 between those two.
All right, I'll put it Chargers 5 and Ravens 6 in that order. All right, Darren, thank you for checking in here. All right, let's do this. Let's put a little moratorium on the phone calls for a few minutes. When we come back, let's hear a sampling of Doug Marrone, Blake Bortles, Telvin Smith talking yesterday at the podium or in the locker room about the upcoming game. 3 weeks to go in the regular season for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and, of course, Tyler Devitt along here with you if you want to get in. 641-1010 is the way to do it. Coming up in a couple of segments, we'll have This State in Football and the drive around the NFL as well, and we'll give you our predictions on how things are going to end up for the rest of the AFC as well before we wrap things up. But it's Jaguars Today. We're live at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Harry's Razors. You heard me say that Harry's give you a great shave for a great price. You know that they do, and that you try to find that perfect gift this holiday season. Harry's makes a perfect gift. It'll get used. It's practical. And it's kind of special, too. They really do a great job with their gift sets. I know because Harry's was a gift. The first time I got a Harry's Razors, it was a gift for me. And right now, you can get some great deals on your Harry's Razors as well. You can save $5 by going to harrys.com and using promo code Mike on any of their holiday gift sets. All you got to do is navigate over there and check out the selection that they've got. Gift sets begin at just $10. So this holiday, give Harry's and give Handsome and get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, just go to harrys.com and enter code Mike at checkout to save that $5. That's harrys.com. Use promo code Mike, my first name, M-I-K-E, for the best shave you'll ever have or for the gift recipient, the best shave they'll ever have. Go to Harry's Razors at harrys.com.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
You know, it's fun to see, Tom, as I try to navigate my two different worlds, my Jaguars Today world and my football diehard SiriusXM fantasy world, is how many people are asking me who they should play Dede Westbrook over these days, right? Isn't it just fun, man? I mean, you know, it's like Marquise Lee was in the mix a little bit as a low-end guy earlier in the season, but people are excited about the Jaguar wide receivers these days, particularly Dede Westbrook coming on. All right, let's get to it. Doug Marrone speaking yesterday on a variety of topics. Here he was asked about Telvin Smith, his return to practice out of the concussion protocol, and how did Blair Brown play in Telvin's absence?
Well, first, you know, when you lose a player like Telvin, it's tough. You're talking about one of your best players on defense. You know, you're talking about a captain. You're talking about a leader. You're talking, you know, there's a lot of things that are going into that. And not only when you lose him, you know, to the injury that he had, he's not even around. You know what I'm saying? So that plays into it a little bit, too. And then you have to go ahead and put a player in and, you know, that maybe hasn't played that much but does have ability. And I think that, you know, the practice time, the extra meeting time, and then the performance on the field of Blair is very encouraging. Like I said before, you look at things, and I mentioned it the other day, you know, sometimes you're like, well, hey, you know, we like him. And then all of a sudden you put someone on the field, you're like, oof, I don't know if we like him that much. Or you put him on the field and go, whoa, this guy going to be good. He's going to be a good football player. And that's how we feel about Blair. We put him on the field, and he really did a nice job. You can see when he sees things, you know, and that's the one thing. And that's just a lot of that's just experience, you know. All of a sudden when you read your keys and you see those things, and he can take off and go and make a play. So, you know, from that standpoint, that's you know, very encouraging. And then obviously getting Telvin back is extremely encouraging because he's one of our best players on defense.
Yeah, Telvin's going to be back. I saw Brent Martineau tweet out something yesterday. Someone was asking about, you know, what is the weakness, the Achilles heel of this defense. I think it's okay for us to acknowledge that there may not be one. Right?
It's like, kind of what we talked about yesterday,
like,
right?
Like, they really may not really have a weakness. That doesn't mean week to week someone may not find something that they expose in a matchup that they like, because you got to try something. You got to have a game plan, so everyone's going to try something against this Jaguars team, but I don't think you look at it going into a game and say, oh, this is where everyone's going to attack this team. There's nothing like that.
You know, Tony, we talked about the starting defense, the starting 11, right? Not nickel, your base defense. All these guys are under contract for next year. The only guy who's not is Aaron Colvin in nickel.
Yep.
And usually you have that situation. Sometimes you're going, yeah, well, this spot we really got to upgrade, right? It's not like they won't draft players on defense at all next year. But there's no one that you look at and you say, we got to go out and find a this.
Yeah.
You're going to roll with this unit next year and feel really, really good about it.
No, really good about it. You heard Coach Marone there talking about Telvin Smith. Let's hear a little bit of Telvin from the locker room yesterday, who was asked, first of all, about the game coming up on Sunday as he's set to return, saying, we're not overlooking the Houston Texans.
We got to make sure that we don't go into that into the mode of kind of how they did coming into the season and took us lightly. And then we came out and put it on them. So we got to make sure that we don't take this team lightly. They're getting a couple guys back. You know, they say you don't want to put stuff out there in the media. But, again, the confidence that I have in this team, we know that we're the better team. We just have to go out, line up, and continue to play how we plan.
Yeah, I was looking over some of the numbers from that game yesterday, the season opener. And this is how great the pass rush was. As prolific a tackler as Telvin Smith was, he almost wasn't in the box score. I mean, because the front line just didn't allow many plays to be made on the other levels of the defense. I think he had one tackle, one solo tackle, and one assist in that game. He's back this week, but he was asked about not playing this past week against the Seahawks due to the concussion.
Well, I chose not to play, and I think that was the biggest thing. I think as a collective. Mindset, I would say, that we thought it was best that I sit more. I think right now Puz has done a great job out there on the field. Blair coming in has played phenomenal ball coming in, made a couple mistakes and stuff, but it's a young player making plays. Miles just continuing to elevate his game. So it's not like we were hurting in a sense. I know a lot of people say they miss me and stuff like that, but those guys, you know, they more than handled themselves out on the field. And, again, they continue to show why we're the best defense in the country.
I personally have zero problem with
me
that.
Either.
This is this guy's brain. This is not like I'm going out there with I've got a strained ligament that is, you know, in further danger of rupturing or something like that. This is your brain, man. You know, your quality of life, the rest of your life. You know, and you could talk about, I'm sure there's some people, oh, old school, this never would happen. Well, how many of these old school football players die in their 50s, right?
I mean, you're given new information, it's okay to change how you approach something.
We're in a more enlightened era. Telvin Smith has set himself up financially for life because he's played well and outperformed his fifth-round draft status. And let's hope he has a long and productive life. And, oh, by the way, it probably factored in and it didn't hurt that you turn around and you look at Paul Posluszny and you say, you know what, this guy balled last week, and we've got players all over the field. We can win this game without it. You know, for the people up in Seattle, because I've heard, oh, well, you know, Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, you know, those guys got injured. They played the whole game without Telvin Smith, buddy. And right now, I know they rave about Bobby Wagner up here. Well, we rave about Telvin Smith down here and his impact as well.
No doubt about it. It's kind of a follow-up to that question to Telvin. He was asked, you know, if he pled basically to get into that game against Seattle last week.
Well, you got to think about it as a, you know, they talk about being a competitor and stuff like that. And obviously, I wanted to get out there. But again, I think if this had been 2 years ago, I'd have been more pressed thinking that, you know, we didn't have enough to stop those guys. But I think we had more than enough to stop Russell, as you can see. So that's why I didn't feel pressed at all. I seen how the guys practiced. You know what I mean? And that was a big thing that we was going back and forth with. But at the same time, personally, I want to live a long time, and I want to play this game a long time. So Russell Wilson, yeah, he can have three games, and I wouldn't play.
Well, you know, look, Telvin misses one extra game, and now hopefully he's that much healthier for the home stretch, right? He's less. The more you give your brain a chance to recover from a concussion, Tony, I got to believe, you know, the less you're in that window of an immediate aggravation of that. We want Telvin not only to live a long time. I suspect Jaguar fans want him to play a long time as well, right? Another 10 years in a Jaguar uniform. How does that sound to you, right? So one regular season game in 2017, and they end up winning it. I think it worked out for the best all the way around. All right, let's move on to the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's my quarterback, Blake Bortles, talking about the Seattle win and people talking about that being one of his best games.
I think it's definitely up there. I think when offensively we go out there and put that kind of performance together, I think execute the way we did, run game, pass game, you know, against a good team, a good defense like that. You know, and we talked about the situation doing it late in December, in the middle of December, in meaningful games. You know, I think it was a big game all around. You know, offensively, special teams wise, defense. I thought as a team, we were able to do it. We were able to have each other's backs and find a way to win. I thought it was really good.
I think there are some people that are never going to fully trust Blake, right? Even if they win a Super Bowl with Blake, I think people are going to be like, yeah, they won despite Blake. And fine, think whatever you like. But here's what he has to do to start to. There's some on that far end of the spectrum you're never going to change. But to win more over, keep stacking them up here, right? Two great games to start the month of December, highest rated quarterback in the league in the month. Not enough. Do it against a team that you're favored heavily against in the Houston Texans this week. Go out and play mistake-free football. Coast to a nice, easy, double-digit win. Doesn't matter if you don't have to throw it 45 times to do that. Throw it 25 times. As long as you're efficient, accurate, don't put your team in bad positions, and continue to stack these performances up.
I certainly hope that Blake has found himself. I hope that's what we're seeing. I really do. I really do hope that that's what we're seeing here from Blake Bortles. Him talking yesterday, and one of the things that we've been talking about with Blake, it feels like since they drafted him, since that first rookie mini camp where the ball was fluttering through the air on a couple of those downfield passes, was the mechanics. Obviously, he put in the work in the last couple off seasons to try to fix some of that, especially this past most recent offseason. He was asked about his improved mechanics this year.
You know, a big part of it was going out to California and working with Tom and Adam and those guys and fixing that. And I think another big part of it is we're winning. You know, when you're losing, all anybody wants to do is point out why you're losing and what's the reason for it. And there's different reasons why, and that was a big one last year. So, you know, it's good to get that stuff, you know, fixed and corrected and, you know, so far be able to maintain it and keep it consistent. And, you know, it's probably something that I'll have to do for the rest of my career.
All right, hearing from Blake Bortles here. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tyler Devitt here with you. As we continue along, what about Nathaniel Hackett? You know, when things aren't going well, how many times have we taken calls over the last few years? What the hell's wrong with these coordinators, right, especially on offense? Well, Nathaniel Hackett is doing a good job for Blake and company this year, and so is the quarterback coaching. It's not just about the coordinators, and Blake talked about that aspect of his improvement.
He's been really awesome. I don't think there's a whole lot of them. You know, quarterback coaches that played quarterback in the NFL is a really cool thing to have. A guy that's been in those shoes and had, you know, the perspective that you have, you know, every single day is a cool thing to have, and you know, another guy to have to be able to talk to about decisions and throws and all that stuff.
Blake's been around some not winning football in Jacksonville since he got here, and he's been a part of that not winning football. He was asked about what is the biggest difference with this team this year compared to past years.
From a team perspective, you know, we talk about the culture and the mindset a lot, and I think that's something that has kind of been a complete overhaul within the locker room with the help of, you know, some of the guys you just mentioned in free agency, and then obviously Doug and Coach Coughlin coming in and helping change that. You know, I think offensively it's been just week by week guys getting more comfortable with the system. You know, I think, you know, you see it with Didi, you see it with Keelan, some of these younger guys that are getting more comfortable and more confident, and it's really no different for anybody else that's playing, regardless of how many years they've been in the NFL, because it's still everybody's first year in the system. So I think to be able to go week to week and you see each guy feel more comfortable and confident within the system, and be able to go out there and play more freely and with less clutter inside their head on Sundays, I think for me that's probably been the most important thing that you've seen, you know, kind of offensively us grow.
Yeah, you forget that, Tony. I mean, Scott Milanovich, of course, he was talking about his quarterback's coach earlier. Nathaniel Hackett took over midway last season, but you can't scrap the entire offense midseason. So this is really the first year they've been able to install exactly what his vision was, which leads you to believe with the youth and the more experience you gain, the better it's going to be going forward for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he mentioned Dede Westbrook specifically, and he was asked to expand on that a little bit, just what he's seen out of the Jaguar rookie wide receiver.
He's such a fluid athlete and smooth, and you just got to tell him what to do and give him a chance or two at it during the weekend practice, and he can go execute it on Sunday. It's kind of cool. His athletic ability and, kind of the quicks that he has and the agility, all you got to do is, with Keenan McCardell and Nathaniel and those guys helping him out, I think the sky's the limit for him and what he's going to be able to do.
You know, Tony, we've talked about the Seattle model, finding Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and guys like that late in the draft. Obviously, hitting on a quarterback and not having to pay him big money for a few years was a major factor. But, you know, the Jags are finding these guys, they're starting to emerge. Telvin Smith's earned a second contract, could be on the way to the Pro Bowl. Unique Ngakoue looks like he could be on the way to the Pro Bowl. Dede Westbrook is one of those guys that we could look back in a year or so and say, oh, my goodness. I mean, what we knew he was a good player, but – you know, the Jags have taken a few chances in the last few years. Look, Telvin failed a drug test at the combine.
Sure.
Never had an ounce of trouble. I mean, Telvin's as much a leader on this football team as anybody. You haven't heard a whiff of anything but hard work out of Dede Westbrook, and you know he's got phenomenal playmaking ability.
Yeah, they've been rewarded for the past handful of years for taking those kind of risks, which is, look, honestly, something under Gene Smith they just didn't do. And the one time Gene did, it blew up in his face in spectacular fashion with Blackman. I mean, it just completely imploded.
Right.
And didn't take long for it to do that.
And that one, Tony, seemed like there were if you did your due diligence,
yeah.
there were a lot more warning signs with Blackman than with these other guys.
Oh yeah. No doubt about it. Blake Bortles was asked yesterday, look, if they win, they're in. He was asked from his perspective, what is at stake on Sunday against Houston?
I think everybody understands the situation that we're in, what lies ahead, where we're at in the division, where we're at and all that stuff. And, you know, you talk about taking it one game at a time, and, you know, there's nothing more important than beating the Houston Texans, because if we do that, then, you know, everything you just talked about happens. It's a team that, for the past couple of years beaten us, you know, pretty well. So to have the opportunity to go beat them, to kind of, clean some of the stuff up that you talked about, have that opportunity to go, you know, play in the postseason, I think it's all the incentives you need.
That's the thing. Still got to go out and win these games. You know, it's almost like we've assumed, well, when the Jags run the table here, do we really believe that that's what's going to happen? We'll tell you, Tyler, Tony, and myself, we've gone through the final 3 weeks of games for every team in the AFC and gone game by game, made our own individual predictions. We haven't compared notes with each other. And coming up at about quarter after the next hour, we'll look and then sort out where the AFC playoff picture would fall if it goes the way we think these next 3 weeks of games will go. That's the question of the day, brought to you by First Coast Roofing. Tell us what your prediction is for the six AFC playoff teams in order of the seed that they will have. List them 1 through 6, and you can hit us up on social media on the text line, driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. Of course, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you got out there. Coming back with this date in football and the drive around the NFL, it's Jaguars Today, live at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's my quarterback.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. We go back to 1930, December 14th. The New York Giants defeated. Who'd they defeat on this date, Tony?
In what year?
1930.
The Bears.
Notre Dame, 22-0 in a charity game on this date in 1930. Don't know why they played that one. Maybe a precursor many years ahead of the collegiate All-Star game.
Maybe.
First NFL divisional playoff game took place on this date in 1941. The Bears did beat the Packers 33-14. The Bears have that to lord over them. But I think the Packs, more recent history, shines in a lot of people's mind. 1947, the Cleveland Browns beat the New York Yankees 14-3 in the All-American Football Conference Championship game. Howard Cosell stepped away from the Monday Night Football booth on this date in 1984, and a couple of Heisman trophies were awarded on this date. In 1991, the 57th Heisman went to Desmond Howard out of the University of Michigan, and The Gators' own Danny Wonderful. Danny Werfel won the 62nd Heisman Trophy on this date in 1996. Couple of birthdays of note. Georgia Bulldogs making the program. 1922. As far as I can tell, Charlie Trippi is still alive, and he's 95 years young today. NFL halfback, he was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft in 1947 by the Chicago Cardinals. Won a championship that year, the only one he'd win in his career. Two-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1968. And then Ernie Davis, born on this date in 1939, became the first black man to win the Heisman Trophy in 1961 collegiately at Syracuse, and he was the first pick in the 1962 NFL draft, selected by the Redskins. He was immediately traded to the Cleveland Browns, but then was later diagnosed with leukemia in the summer of 1962, and Ernie Davis passed away less than a year later at the age of 23 years old without ever having played in a professional football game. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1979. This state in football brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. Is your home's foundation letting you down? Well, you know your home is your greatest investment. You need to protect it. And the engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full service foundation repair company. They'll work with your insurance company. Financing is available, fully licensed and insured. Call 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com online. That was this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara back at full practice on Wednesday. He said after practice that he's going to be good to go for the Saints on Sunday against the New York Jets. Kamara still hasn't completely cleared the league's concussion protocol, but being a full participant in practice is a step towards it. Speaking of the Jets, they have placed quarterback Josh McCown on the injured reserve list. Head coach Todd Bowles has named Bryce Petty as the team starter. Bowles was asked about their 2016 second-round draft pick, Christian Hackenberg, and whether there was any plan in place to get a look at the second-year signal caller over the course of the last 3 weeks of the season. Bowles made it clear that Hackenberg likely will not play, with the exception maybe being if Bryce Petty were to suffer an injury over the course of the last month. Aaron Rodgers back on the practice field yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. He talked after practice in the locker room about returning to the field on Sunday, saying, quote, "Hopefully it gives a lift to some of the guys, but I'm not coming back to save this team. I'm coming back to play quarterback the way I know how to play it. Hopefully we all find a way to raise the level of our play collectively and win these last three football games."
Got new football music. That's what I was
apparently,
most paying attention to. I saw Tyler doing work this morning, putting that in. All right, you know, you may not be coming back to save them, but you may have the unintended effect of saving them. We shall see what happens this weekend as they go to Carolina. It's not easy. I know they got Minnesota next week. I think a tough opponent. I can't remember who it is. Probably the Lions or the Bears, I'm guessing. Bears have a good defense.
They have three really good teams back.
That's why I'm thinking it's Detroit, because you're going to end with a division opponent. So that's what I'm thinking it'll be in week 17 for the Green Bay Packers.
At Carolina, home against the Vikings. Yeah. At Detroit.
There you go. All right. Duval Doom just retweeted. I didn't see the original tweet from the Bold City Brigade. They were doing a fundraiser to help kids, you know, have a merrier Christmas. And, you know, one of the nice outreach things that they do over there. And I just wanted to read their tweet at Bold City Brigade. Through your generosity, meaning the people that helped this process along, the Bold City Brigade was able to raise over $3,500. And what that will result in is those folks who donated have helped pay for 40 kids to attend this game against the Houston Texans, underprivileged kids, 80 total tickets because each one will attend with a chaperone, a $20 meal voucher per child, and a Jaguar Santa hat per child as well. That is it's a pretty nice thing to do coming down the stretch here of the regular season.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep, they do a lot of awesome stuff, and they will be on full lubricated display in Nashville, let's just say, in the final week of the season. Let's get our man Fan Cam on the line, checking in with Johnny Port. Good afternoon. I guess good morning to you, John. I don't know what the hell time it is. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, guys. Hope all is going well. Just wanted to wish a belated happy birthday and good luck to J.P. Shadrick as he tries to knock off the defending champion Longboard.
Yeah, you got a big lead on him in that one, right?
I think it's roughly 42.8.
Yeah, you and I look like we're on a collision course over the next couple weeks in that particular
league. Well, that's too bad, because I know who you'd rather play in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'd rather be – I just got to get there first. I'm happy to be a part of it, John. That's all
Much like the Jags, man, one step at a time. I haven't thought too much about the order of the playoff teams, because at this point – I just want to win the division. And with the record we put together, that means at least a home playoff game, even if it's a wild card round. But, boy, as you guys have alluded to, it would be nice if we could ride into the divisional round and have that game at home. It's an amazing season. It's incredible if you think back from week three of preseason and juxtapose what was being said then with what we got now. Man, what a ride.
You know, and that's something we shouldn't forget, right? Because, you know, for all this, it's all come together beautifully. The plan is in place. The plan was a little bit shaky around week three, wasn't it, right? Offensive line questions, quarterback questions. Who is going to start the season opener, John, was still to be written at that point in time.
Well, I think there was the one Jaguars Today co-host, if not 1010 co-host, who did predict the playoff team here in Jacksonville. We won't go into that, but it really did change with Bortles in week 15 when Marone took over last year. I mean, he clearly had the perception that touchdown passes was his job, and Marone outlined it as it should be in the NFL. Number one priority is win losses. Number two is your plus and minus. You got to respect the rock. And he's come a long way since then, and he's the best quarterback in the NFL in December. And I want to give him props, man. He's done a heck of a job. His teammates around him have done a great job. And I'm really proud of the guy and all the hard work the team's put in.
All right.
I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' predictions, and a Merry Christmas and a rocking New Year to you guys.
Hey, same to you, brother. And let's get back out on the golf course soon enough, as he beat me enough on the course this year, Tony. He can't have the fantasy football championship as well.
No, and, you know, every now and then there comes that moment where you just got to eat crow, right? And I was clearly not the guy who predicted the Jags to go to the playoffs. With what was going on in the preseason, I was like, are they going to win five?
I believe John was talking about himself,
yeah,
actually.
Are they going to win five? Heck, I was the guy that when they decided to open up the quarterback competition after week two of the preseason said, if I was making the decision, Blake Bortles would never take another snap.
We were both in that spot.
Never take another meaningful snap for this Jaguars organization. Here we are, 9-4. They're steamrolling their way into the playoffs.
Because I heard Jeff Prosser say yesterday, "This we got to remind ourselves preseason means nothing." It didn't. Well, if that's the case, then why were they on the fence themselves about who was going to be the starting quarterback?
They got it right. I mean, when everything is said and done, it appears they got it right.
Kenny had the opportunity, and probably, look, the bar was so high. What could Chad Henne have done in one start in the third week of the preseason to overtake?
If Cole had caught the ball, would he be the starter?
You wonder, right? You do wonder about that because he did have the big drop, but it's worked out famously for everybody here, including Chad Henne, who's part of a team that's headed to the playoffs.
No doubt.
And, John, a Merry Christmas to you and yours. We will come back, and we will tell you. We'll take all the drama and suspense out of the rest of the regular season.
I didn't
season.
Know math was going to be involved
it
when I came
in
today.
It wasn't in mine, and maybe just because I didn't, you know, I subconsciously avoided having to go to any tiebreakers on this. But we will play out the final 3 weeks of the regular season. The question of the day, brought to you by First Coast Roofing, asks you to predict the six playoff teams in the AFC in order of their seed 1 through 6. And we're going to do it the mathematical way. We're going to play out the schedule, add it all up. Where does that put people? Factor in tiebreakers and tell you who we think will be seeded where in the AFC playoff picture. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we're about to break down the final 3 weeks. Take all the drama out of the NFL regular season for you. So, you know, if you want to go Christmas shopping instead of watching games this Saturday, that's up to you. Really, free up to do anything you want. If you want to go watch The Last Jedi 6 times on Saturday, do you have your tickets?
I got tickets for tomorrow afternoon, yes.
Tomorrow afternoon, what time are you going?
3:45.
Tinseltown?
Yes.
Go, where in the world is Fat Tony? We should play a game. We should give you something. Although, we've done that in the past. This has nothing to do with our Thanksgiving spectacular. Do not throw things at Fat Tony if you see him.
No, thank you. Yeah. We're not playing that game.
Tomorrow. That game is long since retired. We will take this one phone call. Scott is going to check in here on Jaguars Today, wants to give us his prediction before we go through and ruin the surprise of the final 3 weeks of the regular season. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Appreciate your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate the show very much. All right, I'm going way out on a limb here. You ready?
Okay.
Steelers, Jags, Pats, Ravens, Bills, and Chargers, both Titans and Chiefs, don't make it.
I'm assuming the Chargers are the division champ then.
Correct.
Right. So then your wild cards are the Ravens and who
and
are
the Bills.
And the Bills.
The Bills.
Wow,
yep.
that is out on a limb because I don't think the Bills
I'm telling you. Well, I think the Bills are going to beat the Pats, quite frankly.
So okay. Well, you know, that would go a long way towards getting them into the postseason. So,
yes, it would.
Scott will find out.
I have
out.
A question for
yes.
you.
Go ahead.
A question for you. You know what has been odd to me is as we've started our winning ways, I haven't seen one interview or article on Mr. Khan. He must be a very happy man.
Sure he is. He's not around all the time. He's a very busy man, too. So, yeah, I mean, Shad Khan, why wouldn't he be? He's bought the team, Tony. He's had nothing but losing ever since. And, you know, all he wants to do is win. He's given the team every resource, an open checkbook. Go out there. If you think you can make this team better by bringing in this guy, and he didn't limit it to anybody. Said, go do it. That's what they've done.
Sure.
Haven't always made the right choices, but it seems like they're on a pretty good roll in that department. Scott, if we get the opportunity, I'd love to talk to Shad. I hope Shad makes it to Minneapolis this year. He hasn't done Radio Row the last couple of years. We'll be up there for the week leading up to the Super Bowl, whether the Jags make it or not. And we'll find out where they begin their playoff quest. Here are the 12 teams still alive in the AFC. Pittsburgh, New England, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Tennessee, and Buffalo would be your six playoff teams if the season ended today, right? That whole thing, in that order. So, one through six with Tennessee and Buffalo as your wild cards. Baltimore, the L.A. Chargers just on the outside at 7-6, tied but losing the tiebreaker to Buffalo. Oakland and Miami at 6-7, still alive, as are the Jets and Cincinnati, although lots of crazy things would need to happen for those teams to make it in. So let's see. Let's begin with this week's schedule and go down the line. I will give you mine, or should we do game by game? Let's do game by game. I got KC over the Chargers on Saturday. What do you got?
I got the Chargers over KC.
Tyler?
I have Kansas City losing to the Chargers.
All right, so you both have the Chargers. I have the Chiefs actually winning that football game. Baltimore at Cleveland. I got Baltimore.
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 Baltimore, of course.
Right, Baltimore clean sweep on that one. Let's see what else factors in. Cincinnati at Minnesota. I got the Vikings beating the Bengals this week.
I don't have Cincinnati winning again.
Neither do I.
Yeah. So Cincinnati and the Jets, I don't have them winning again.
Well, you know what?
Clean sweep.
Clean sweep for both of them. We
Bengals
scratch off
the board.
Bengals and the Jets off the board, all right? Jags against Houston, I got the Jags winning.
Jags.
Okay, let's see. I'm going right down the line. Miami at Buffalo. Who you got?
Where did I have that? I got Buffalo winning.
I got Buffalo as well. Tyler?
I have Miami winning.
Miami winning that one, all right? Let's see. We already eliminated the Jets. New England, Pittsburgh. That's the big A. I've got the Steelers at home. Who you got?
I don't like it, but I think New England finds
New England
way.
Finds
and
way.
So do I.
New England
win
for Tyler.
Win that one.
I'm going with Pittsburgh here. Tennessee at San Francisco. Who you got?
Tennessee.
Tyler.
Tennessee at San Francisco. I'm inclined to take the Titans in that one.
I'm taking the 49ers at home in that game. And I'll tell you right now, I got the Titans losing out the rest of the season. I do. And Dallas at Oakland on Sunday Night Football. I've got the Cowboys knocking off the Raiders.
I got Oakland winning.
Okay.
I'm taking Dallas as well.
Dallas over Oakland, all right? So that's this week's games. Moving on to next week's. Let's see. Baltimore will play home against Indianapolis on Saturday, December 23rd. I got the Ravens in that.
The Baltimore schedule, like before we even started this,
fantastic
I hadn't looked at
them,
it.
Right?
And then you see the Baltimore schedule and it's like, whoa.
They're winning out.
Yeah. I mean, it's at Cleveland, home against Indianapolis, and home against Cincinnati. Cincinnati may be the toughest game left on their schedule. Yeah, I got them beating the Colts.
Yeah. Tyler,
as
same
do
thing,
I.
Right? Let's see. I've got New England beating Buffalo.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see what else we've got here. I'm trying to do them in the order that they appear. I guess I'll just go down the sheet I wrote them on. I've got the Chargers over the Jets.
I got the Chargers winning.
Tyler?
I'm sorry, what was the game?
Chargers-Jets in Week 16.
Chargers-Jets. I have the Chargers winning that one as well.
I told you I've got Tennessee losing out, so I've got the Rams beating the Titans.
Rams over Titans.
Tyler?
Rams beating the Titans as well.
I got Pittsburgh over Houston.
Pittsburgh over Houston.
Tyler?
Pittsburgh winning.
Let's see, I've got Philadelphia over Oakland.
Yes.
Same
here, yep.
Okay, and then I've got Detroit over Cincinnati. We all agree Cincinnati, we think, is going to lose their final three games. All right, week 17, I've got Miami over Buffalo this time. I've got them splitting the home and home over the next 3 weeks, basically.
I got Miami over Buffalo with the split, yeah.
Okay.
Other way around, but I guess still a split here for me.
Still a split, all right. I've got Baltimore over Cincinnati. We all agree on that.
Yep.
Pittsburgh over Cleveland, easy.
Yep.
Right?
Very easy.
Jags over Tennessee.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, New England over the Jets.
Yep.
Kansas City, Denver. Who you got there?
Denver. Actually, I got Kansas City. Sorry.
Tyler?
I also have Kansas City, yes.
I have Denver in that one, and the Chargers over Oakland.
Yes.
Here's why I've got Kansas City over Denver. Kansas City's going to have the division wrapped up, and they're not going to. That game's not going to mean anything for them. So I got
Denver
at home.
That's because you got them beating the Chargers.
I do. That's right. That's in my scenario. Yeah. I've got them beating the Chargers this weekend, and if they win the next couple of games, they're going to have the sweep against the Chargers. They're going to have home or the AFC West wrapped up, and the four seed is where they'll be. All right, so, Tony, where does that leave you? Give me your six playoff teams based on your predictions, starting at number one, who the team is, and what the record is down through number six.
Here's what we got. Because of the game this weekend, New England, the one seed at 13-3. Pittsburgh, the two seed at 13-3. Jacksonville, the three seed at 12-4. The L.A. Chargers winning the West at 10-6, so they'd be the four. Baltimore at 10-6 as the five seed. And the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-7, winning the common opponents tiebreaker over the Tennessee Titans.
Common opponents!
Who also came in at 9-7 to get into the playoffs as the sixth seed.
All right, Tyler, what do you have?
I have a picture-perfect comparison to Tony Smith. It's exactly the same records-wise. We didn't compare notes, like you said. So, yeah, just all the games worked out in the last 3 weeks to have the same exact playoff picture. New England, Pittsburgh, Jags, Chargers, Ravens, with the Chiefs winning that common games tiebreaker.
Okay, for me, I've got Pittsburgh at 14-2. I think they went out, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're going to be the number one seed. I have the Jags taking the number two seed. Again, maybe we're bullish on them, thinking they're going to win out. Maybe we're dismissing the chances of the 49ers playing at home, making a West Coast trip for the Jags. But I've got them at 12-4, winning the conference record tiebreaker with the New England Patriots, who at 12-4 would be the number three seed. I've got the Kansas City Chiefs as the number four at 9-7. I've got the Baltimore Ravens at number five at 10-6. And then the L.A. Chargers would be my sixth seed at 9-7, with the one caveat. If the Tennessee Titans find a way to beat either San Francisco or the L.A. Chargers, or I'm sorry, Rams. The L.A. Rams, over the next couple weeks, they'll tie with the Chargers, and they'll have a better conference record than the Chargers, and the Titans would get the sixth seed in that scenario. I don't want to see the Titans make the playoffs. Let me ask you this. You had your choice between New England and the L.A. Chargers. Who would you rather the Jags face, assuming they got a bye, and they were hosting that game here in Jacksonville? Who would you rather see them face?
Chargers.
Tyler?
I wouldn't want to face Tom Brady in the playoffs at all.
I think so too, right? Right. I don't think they can't beat the New England Patriots. Tom Brady's got a lot of institutional playoff memory on how to get the job done, right? Down 28-3, you can never discount that team. So if you want that to happen, I think that then if Tennessee were to lose out, if the Chargers are able to get the sixth seed, they're much more likely, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think Tennessee has a prayer to beat New England in the postseason. I think the Chargers would give them a hell of a game.
I do, too.
In that scenario. So your first-round matchups, Tony, would be Jacksonville versus Kansas City.
Jacksonville hosting Kansas City and the Chargers in Baltimore.
And the Chargers against Baltimore. And if
Baltimore in L.A., sorry.
Right. And if the Jags were to win, they would take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in round two.
Likely, yes.
Well, yeah, they'd have to, right? Because they'd be the three seed, and if they advance to the divisional playoff, they'd have to play Pittsburgh, and that would be the same for Tyler. For me, I would have it where New England would be taking on the Chargers, and the Kansas City Chiefs would be taking on the Ravens. And in that scenario, if the Chargers beat New England, you miss out on New England. You also miss out on the Chargers, who then go to Pittsburgh and play. So out of the three teams that may be the most dangerous to the Jaguars in the AFC playoffs, root for my scenario right there, right? I mean, seriously, if the Chargers could take out New England and go to Pittsburgh, well, you'll take your chances against anybody if you make it to the AFC championship game. From three wins to the AFC title game, and the Jags then would play the winner of Kansas City and Baltimore. How'd it go the last time they played the Ravens? Not so well.
Yeah, and I think you look at the Ravens. You look at the last 3 weeks, and we went through all the games, and I had four teams that won their last three to get in. That would be New England, the Chargers, Baltimore, and the Jags, all winning their last three games to get in. It also circles the importance, maybe the two most important games in the final 3 weeks for all these teams on the schedule right now as far as playoff seeding: Pittsburgh, New England. And that Chargers-Kansas City game
this Saturday night
is massive.
Huge game.
Like, it is so big. It likely determines who's going to win the West, likely. It doesn't totally put it to bed for anybody, but likely determines who's going to win the West, and the other team is going to be clawing to stay in the picture.
Right. If Kansas City wins, they're winning the West because they'd have to sweep. They'd have like a two-game lead on it. It's over.
And it could make 2 months of really hot play from the Chargers basically add up to not much if they find a way to lose this game on Saturday night.
Absolutely. And that's where I've got initially I had Kansas City going 3-0 in their last three games. But then when I looked at it, I said, well, under this scenario, they'd be sitting there at 9-6 going into Week 17, and nobody in the division could catch them. They couldn't catch the 3 seed. They're locked into the 4 seed, and that's why I have them going to Denver and the Broncos knocking them off in that scenario. So I've got Baltimore going 3-0. I've got Pittsburgh going 3-0. I've got the Jags going 3-0. I've got Tennessee, the Jets, Oakland, and Cincinnati all going 0-3. Will it work out that way? Likely not, but it's kind of fun to think about as you play out the different scenarios. I mean, just imagine if the Chargers beat the Patriots and you're hosting the winner of Kansas City, Baltimore, and sitting back if you're able to win that and watching the Steelers and Chargers bloody each other up for the loser to or the winner to emerge and take on the Jags. And if the winner happens to be the Chargers, you host the AFC Championship
game.
That'd
be fun.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We will. You know what? We've got a pair of tickets we're going to give away. We'll give them away coming back here. And but we did want to credit our friends who donated these. Mo works at the Exchange Club Family Center, which helps with the prevention of child abuse. He had a pair of tickets that he cannot use to this Sunday's final regular season home game versus the Houston Texans. So if you'd like to go to the game and you don't have ducats, I'll be listening. We'll give you your chance to score a pair coming up on the other side. We'll also take a look at some of your responses to the question of the day, which is to make your prediction on the way things will shake out in the AFC playoff picture, seeds 1-6. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, everybody. Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. You know the sub of the month, the Medianoche, is that delicious Cuban sandwich, but it's delivered on a sweet, soft sub roll and just makes it a little bit different for you. Cooked ham, savory roast pork, creamy Swiss cheese, pickles, and a mayo mustard blend, and available at Circle K and Kangaroo Express all throughout the month of December at the low, low price of only $3.99. And the Maroni's Bologna is still going strong. Take advantage of this deal in the month of December. 100% of the proceeds for all the Maroni's Bologna's that are sold by the Dandy and Anytime Deli line of sandwiches go to benefit the J Fund, and they benefits families with a diagnosis of childhood cancer, and all that money stays right here on the First Coast. Dandy's got great breakfast sliders, light lunchtime wraps, gourmet salads. They've got a little something for everybody. It's always fresh, it's always delicious, and it's always convenient for you. Pop into your local convenience store, and you're in and out in 2 minutes with the selection of your choice. For food on the go, go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Is there a next step for this group down the stretch here? What else can we do?
Yeah, we got to correct some things. We got to, you know, I mean, we can get some shutouts, you know what I'm saying? That would be good as a defense. That's something that we can accomplish.
You know, I think Cam, Leonard, and Brandon Linder definitely lead our team in the offense and smack talking. I'm just there for like moral support, and you know, I give them like a, you know, I get their back if they ever need help, and you know, if they get stuck on anything, I'll maybe throw something witty out there to help them out.
All right, that's Jalen Ramsey saying, yeah, you know, shut out, that'd be good. That wouldn't be bad, right? That's his, that's like subtle. Just kind of, yeah, I don't even consider that smack talk for Jalen. That doesn't even register.
Oh, no.
For Jalen. But Pa's talking about how, you know, if the guys, if the main culprits on offense who like to talk a little smack, need a little backup, he'll throw something a little witty out there himself. He's been saving it for the post-game press conferences these days. You people who keep calling ahead of time,
I got him on hold.
Hang
but as soon
on.
As you do it, I'm going to hang up on
all right, good. Good. The ones that are on hold, you're hung
if
up
you're on hold
on.
Right now, you're not going to make
you
it.
You must follow directions. All right, we got it. Here's what we're going to do. We got nicely done. Okay, we've got a trivia question. Okay, trivia questions are usually easy to look up online, so we tend to avoid those. You're getting hung up on two there, buddy. All these people just thinking they're jumping the gun. this is not one that would be easy to just Google, okay? So if no one gets the correct answer, you're going to have to come up. There are four answers to the question. You have to get all four. If no one gets all four, then once we do crosstalk and we talk to the guys out at, where are they at? Graffiti Burger Bar out at the beaches. Then we'll just do like caller number whatever random thing. As
sure.
We'll give away a pair of tickets. And I wanted to once again mention our benefactor today, and that would be Mo, who had a pair of tickets, who works at the Exchange Club Family Center. They help with the prevention of child abuse. So that is already above and beyond. But here he's given a chance to a Jaguar fan to bring a friend to a game that they might otherwise not have been able to attend. So you can call right now at 641-1010. Hang up on that guy because he dialed before. There you go. Hang up on him. All right, 641-1010. We'll get all four. We'll get four on the line. Then we'll ask the question to the first caller, the first one who gets in, gets first crack at it. If he gets it right, it's over. And if he does it, we'll tell him how many of the four answers he got right, and that will help the next person in line. And if you win, don't be all gleeful and just hang up the phone. All right, so 641-1010, if you want your crack at it now to win a pair of tickets, go see the Jags host the Houston Texans this weekend. This is a Tyler Devitt special. I take it that Tyler Devitt is correct about the answer to this. He is fully responsible. This is a, by the way, this is a David Lamb trivia question. David Lamb's trivia questions, the answer was whatever Dave thought the answer was.
Yes.
Right? Because who was it? The Jim Tomei one.
Yeah.
He did the infamously, what team did Jim Tomei come up with? And the answer was Cleveland. And I think for some reason he thought it was the California Angels.
Yeah.
And so people kept guessing Cleveland, and he kept saying, no, no, no. So the answer was the California Angels because that's what Dave thought the answer should be. All right, with that, let's get these four on the line so they can all hear the question. And then everybody else who's listening, you won't be able to get in until these four have had their crack at it, or at least as one falls off, a line will open up. Right? Let's begin with David on line one. David, hello, how are you?
Good.
All right, here's your question. There are four players that have played in a playoff game for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the Jaguar uniform that are still in the NFL, still active players in the NFL. I need you to name all four.
Mercedes Lewis.
Okay.
Reggie Nelson.
Yep.
That's all I got.
All right. Yeah, well, let me tell you what. You got two out of two. Don't ding them, Tyler. We don't want them to know which ones they got right. We want to know how many they got right out of four. He's going, ding. Come on. Let's go to Drew up next on line two there. Drew, which four players have appeared in the playoff game for the Jags that are still in the NFL?
Let's see here.
Got to be quick, man.
Honestly, I'm done.
All right, he's done. This is going to be hard, I have a feeling. But that we can't put you on air going, Let's go to James up next. James, four players that appeared in the playoff game for the Jags that are still in the NFL. Who are they?
Mercedes Lewis, Reggie Nelson, and that's all I got, buddy.
Okay, good good try. None of you get half a ticket, okay? Let's go to Andrew. Andrew hung up. Let's see. Alan is next up. Alan, do you think you know the answer? What do you have?
What is that question again? I didn't hear it.
Four players who have appeared in a playoff game for the Jaguars that are still in the NFL. Who are they?
Mercedes Lewis. Paul Posluszny. I don't know.
Okay. Thanks for trying. You got one out of two is what you got. Let's go to David up next, Tony. David, do you have the four players who have appeared in a playoff game for the Jags who are still active in the NFL?
Malik Jackson, Mercedes Lewis, Reggie Nelson, and Calais Campbell.
You got two out of four. Remember, the question is, appeared in a playoff game for the Jaguars, in a Jaguar uniform, not played in a playoff game and now play on the Jaguars.
Gives you a pretty good hint as to when it may have happened.
They were on the 2017, okay? Four, and there's still four of them active in the NFL. Let's go to Charles up next. Charles, who are the four players that were on that 2007 Jags playoff team that are still playing?
Mercedes Lewis, Reggie Nelson, and... jumped the gun on this one, guys.
Yeah, you did. All right, that's all right. Thanks. We need four. Okay. We got two. Let's give them Mercedes and Reggie.
Mercedes,
Tony,
and Reggie are in.
Correctamundo.
Locked in.
Let's go to Terry. Terry, we give you Mercedes and Reggie. Who are the other two players that were on that 2017 that are still in the NFL? Moving on. Dead silence. I mean, seriously, people. The question's been out there for a few minutes now. Why are you calling if you have no clue? Brad, you're next up. Brad, what is your answer? Who are the four guys?
Reggie, Mercedes, Daryl Smith, and Malik.
It's a better guess. You got two out of four, though. Again, Malik Jackson was not on the Jaguars in 2007. These are guys who played for the Jags in the playoffs in 2007. That are still in the NFL. Malik was not on the Jags in 2007. Let's go to Devin up next. Devin, who are those four players we're looking for?
The defensive back that's with the Cowboys is Durant. And the other one would be the guy from our offensive lineman that's playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't think of his name, but that's what I got.
Well, giving him Mercedes and Reggie and giving him the fact that Justin Durant is a linebacker, we'll give him that. He got three out of four.
Oh, he was dancing around
it. Chris, you get the next crack at it, Chris. Who are the four players?
Oh.
Out the door goes Chris. Let's go to Douglas up next. Douglas, who are the four Jaguars that are still in the NFL from the 2007 playoffs?
Mercedes Lewis, Reggie Nelson, Donovan Darius, maybe, Daryl Smith.
All right, Donovan Darius and Daryl Smith are both retired. I'll give that one away. Someone just got the third one.
Yeah, we just had the third one.
We just confirmed the third one. Yeah. Let's go to David up next. See if he's got it. David, who are the four players?
Justin Durant.
That's okay. One player.
That's one.
Name three others, please.
I couldn't hear you guys and the other thing, and I had the radio off.
All right, well,
Mercedes and Reggie. I didn't hear the other one because you guys cut me off on the.
Well, no one's gotten the other one. No one's gotten the other one, David. That's.
Oh, okay. So I get the stab at it. I would say.
Gotta go. Gotta get quick here. PJ, give us the four players, please.
We have Mercedes, Reggie Nelson. We have Daryl Smith, and God, the one that's on.
All right, we just stole it. Daryl Smith's retired, everybody. He's retired. So is Donovan Darius. Okay. So is Mark Brunell. Let's get Albert. We're going to go two more, and if nobody gets it, we're just going to do random caller on the other side. It's not easy, but Albert, who are the four players?
Mercedes Lewis, Reggie Nelson, Mike King, and Daryl Johnston.
Who was the last? Daryl Johnston? Daryl
Moose Johnston?
Yeah, he had Mike Pete.
Mike Peterson's long retired. No, not good guess, I guess.
Let's go.
Douglas gets the last crack at it. Douglas, who are the four players we're looking for?
Or not.
Or silence. All right, let's give Steve the last shot because he's the last guy that Tyler answered the phone for. Steve, who are the four players?
Is it sensible?
It is not sensible. It's not a bad guess, though. That's not a bad guess.
If we had given you the hint of legal trouble while he was here.
Offensive lineman was brought up by the caller who came so close. It was Khalif Barnes,
Barnes.
Got signed by the Arizona Cardinals. So it was Reggie, Mercedes, Durant, and Khalif Barnes. Let's go talk to the Midday Chalk.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Schedule your holiday party catering today and get a $5 Moe buck for everyone in your party. Order online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, let's go check in a Midday Chalk. Who have we got? Joe C. out there, Ty? Who are we talking to? Is that Joe
man.
C.? Hi, Joe C. How are you at Graffiti Burger Bar? What's going on?
Yeah, we're over here in Jack's Beach, Neptune Beach, so this is the last chance on our show for fans to win tickets to the game, courtesy of Bud Light. You just exhausted yourself.
Oh, my gosh, Joe. It's so frustrating. when you're like, we've eliminated this guy, and they, it just goes on and on. Daryl Moose Johnston was the best guest, though, I think, out of all of them.
Oh, and I was racking my brain, too.
Yeah, Khalif was not an easy one, right? I mean, Khalif was not an easy one. So
Yeah, but, you know, as – as hard as that was, we're going to make it easier. You can come over here and put your name in a box, like one of our Jaguar fans has already done, getting ready for our show. And Bud Light will have prizes out here today, along with tickets to the game. And you guys have laid it out well, just like we all have talked about. It's an unbelievable opportunity, a decade worth of waiting to be in the stadium. When the Jaguars lock up a playoff spot, and that's at a minimum, not fully knowing the total of what they can get when it comes to seeding in the postseason. But I think it's going to be a great atmosphere on Sunday.
I hope so, man. I think it'll pay off as being a fun one, you know, for the Jags, because I think they'll go up and down the field a little bit, make some big plays on defense. They're an 11-point favorite, and I think they'll play to that number.
Yeah, this is what we need to see from this football team, and we've talked about it. The Steelers struggling against the Colts, the Texans struggling a couple times before, or excuse me, the Titans struggling a couple times before they finally lost this past week to Arizona. For the most part, the Jags have looked the part against bad football teams. They've taken care of business. The ones they struggled on, we know, were up in New York and then the loss to Arizona. But right now, things are starting to click with a healthy offensive line. We'll find out what Fournette, the forecast is for him coming up. But still, they need to take apart the Houston Texans, as everyone expects.
All right. I think they will. Let's find out if they do. Joe and company will be out at Graffiti Burger Bar out at the beaches and giving away your chance to score some tickets courtesy of Bud Light. Joe, have a great show today, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right. There he goes. I think whoever's calling Joe, chill. All right. Was it him? I don't know. Somebody's phone was buzzing right there. All right, Tyler, we're hanging up on everybody on the phones right now because they're trying to jump the gun on being caller number whatever. We need caller 7200. No, I'm kidding. Kidding, we don't have overtime. Caller number six right now at 641-1010. We'll give you a pair of tickets to go to the game this weekend, courtesy of Mo, who works at the Exchange Club Family Center, which helps with the prevention of child abuse. So caller six, Tyler, thank you very much. That I made the, Tyler be rude to somebody. He was talking to him like, hang up on him.
Right. That was the first number on Khalif Barnes' jersey, I'm pretty sure, when he was here. He was
that's a pretty good guess as an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing in honor of. So there you have it. Khalif Barnes back in the National Football League. He was a big fan of the local constabularies around these parts. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for playing along. We appreciate being able to bring you some of the audio from the various Jags tomorrow, getting you ready with keys to the game. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, I am Mike Dempsey. Back at it again tomorrow from 10 to noon right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Go Jacksonville! Let's go! Two more!